and welcome everybody to the Paranormal Guide's Paranormal Podcast number 19. This is a very special one because this marks us being on the air, or on the internet, for 6 months.
Woohoo!
December 22nd was the first podcast that we ran, and, well, I guess it's been a week over time for the 6 months mark. So we're actually going to do a bit of a retrospective these next few weeks on the earlier podcasts that, well, although available, we prefer you don't listen to because they're absolutely horrible. So we're going to go back over some of those old topics, some of the old listeners' questions, so that our new listeners that have come in late can be caught up to speed. Now, I am not by myself, as always. Across from me, we have got the Paranormal Guide's roving reporter, Debbie Williams.
Hello, everybody.
We have got Team Sensitive, Tash McDonald.
Hi.
And we got our equipment expert manager, Paul Tippich.
How you going, everyone?
Woohoo!
Excellent. And first of all, let's just go around. How do you guys think 6 months have been gone? Pretty good? Are you happy with the podcast? We're good?
Yeah, I think the new format's way better than the last hour, hour-long ones.
Debbie?
I think it's awesome. I think it's worked out really well, don't you?
This guy is an absolute slave driver. We do so much work, it's not funny.
Yeah. you know how beaten we are in the 20 minutes prior to this podcast. It's
beaten.
Crazy.
No, I think Debbie was wined and dined before the podcast. She was celebrated by herself. That's okay. So, and also apologies for this one being late. Two of our team members, both the females, as it would happen, were sick. So we've actually had to record it a week late, but we're still falling within that week. So
we actually are still on antibiotics, both of us.
Excellent.
Soft, girl.
Soft.
No, not soft. Poor old Tash. She's soldiering on.
She's keeping on going. Okay, guys, we're going to get straight into the topic now. And during the very first podcast, one of our topics was the blood moon. If you remember, back in November of 2011, the moon was in a full eclipse from the Earth, and that caused the moon to turn blood red. Now, we happen to be out in is it the Barossa? Where we were?
It was kinda. The arse end of the Barossa.
It was the arse end of the Barossa. We were out at a place called Ebenezer.
Yeah.
And Tash wasn't...
Sorry to all the people at Ebenezer. The arse end of the Barossa.
That's all right. That's all right.
But it is the very end of the edge of the Barossa. Yep. Absolutely, yes.
And Tash wasn't with us at this stage, so I guess... Tash, did you see the Ebenezer video?
Yes, I did. I saw...
I believe you actually picked something up from the vision.
Oh, that was ages ago. I think it was something about one of the school teachers dying. I think so. I can't actually remember. I have to go back in our messages. I'm pretty sure it was something about one of the school teachers dying in that actual schoolhouse, because didn't they used to live there as well?
They did live there.
Well, while we've got Deb talking, Debbie's the one that made the video, so maybe you can give us a quick recap on the history out of Ebenezer.
Wendish. When we went out there and we spoke to Charlie, he happened to just be there on the day that we were there. And Wendish, now I'm not going to pretend that I can remember exactly, but it's an area of Germany. And Wendish is a culture and a area of Germany. And Wendish is the language that they speak. So the people, and it's a Lutheran-based religion. So the church in Ebenezer Ash, am I right? I seem to remember he was telling us it was an Ebenezer, the church that's out there is a Lutheran church. Mm-hmm. And the language that the people spoke, who were the migrants that came out in the beginning, spoke Wendish. So when I was trying to research this, it was actually quite difficult because I was thinking Wendish or what do I look for? Is it an area in Germany? But Lutheran is the religion and Wendish is the language that they spoke.
Yep, and the actual building itself we were looking at, what was that all about?
The house, from the late 1800s until the mid-1940s, housed the school teachers that were there at the time. So I think it was 1945, mid-1940s anyway, just off the top of my head right now, speaking to Charlie, that the teachers who were teaching the children in the community... that's the latest stage that they were actually there. And in the graveyard that is opposite from the schoolhouse when we were there, a couple of the teachers who were actually teaching in the school are buried in the cemetery that is there. So according to Charlie, they didn't actually die in the house, but yet they died in hospital and then they were, you know, interred in the cemetery in the local area.
Okay. And Tasha's picked up something about the teachers in the house itself.
Yeah.
Just from watching the video. Yeah. Because I remember, so I was talking to you, you weren't a part of the team then, but I was still talking to you quite casually, and I sent you the link and said, this is one of the places we might take you out sometime, and you actually got a hit from that video. You got a, well, I don't know what you call it, a hit, or what's the terminology there?
I don't know, just a vision, I guess. A vision. Just, or a sense, just sense something from it.
It's not so surprising that you would actually, Tash, because in those days it would have been quite a small, close community. You know, the people who were the migrants, and they were there and they brought their children to that sort of rather remote area of South Australia now, let alone in the day. And it's not so unusual that, you know, they lived their life there and they passed away there. So it's not so unusual that you might pick up something about the stories and the times of the day.
Yeah.
Didn't actually someone experience a deathly experience there? Not actually dying, but someone... There's like a sub-level to the Ebenezer Schoolhouse. So they had the schoolhouse, or the schoolroom, and they had the quarters where the teacher would live.
The teacher lived there as well.
Then I believe it would have been probably the kitchen area. There's a trapdoor.
Oh, I see.
And I heard...
That's why we were there. We were there to investigate because a sensitive had been there with an investigation team. And they were in there and they had an experience that made them freak out. I don't know exactly what the experience is. And this team left never to return. Other experiences that have taken place there are lights have been seen in this building. Unearthly lights, people have described them as. Even though there's no one there, even when people go in to check them out, you know, they're able to approach this building while the lights are still on. They get there's no one there. But Debbie, if I remember correctly, she channeled something.
In the teacher's accommodation area of the actual schoolhouse, which isn't that large, is it, Paul?
No, it's quite small. It's only three rooms, I believe.
Exactly. It's not a huge building. But for some reason, there's a cellar that you can... There's a trapdoor sort of application in the floor that you can lift up. And who knows, in the day, what they would have actually kept below the cellar. But the medium who went there, which was... what Ash just mentioned a few moments ago, was that when the medium was in the building, the trapdoor was actually banging away by itself. So when I was actually there with the boys, and I got a little bit frustrated with them. I don't get frustrated with them very often.
That's a lie.
But it was the evening of the blood moon, and the boys had all their equipment, and they were focused on the moon. So I thought, oh, good Lord, okay, well, this is a little bit boring. They've got arse up, camera down, they're looking at the moon. So I thought, I'll go for a wander through the graveyard and see if I can find these teachers. And while I was wandering around, I actually heard, now, we can call it a disembodied bell, I guess, because when we interviewed Charlie, he was talking to us, and I thought, well, maybe when Charlie's there with his friends, who's one of the guardians of Ebenezer, and they start their canasta cards night, they ring a bell to start this night. But I don't believe they do, because in this evening, and I showed it to Paul and I showed it to Ashley, and we all listened to it, I was wandering around the graveyard and I was just rambling, as I, you know, very rarely do. And in the background is undoubtedly this bell ringing. And we had a good look around and we could not see a bell anywhere, could we?
No, we couldn't, but that's not the experience I'm thinking of.
What are you thinking of?
I'm thinking of the unearthly noises that were coming from your throat, Debbie, while investigating.
Oh, dear, oh, dear.
Mothman.
Oh, no. They're giving me a hard time because when you look into the screen of a night vision camera, the only aperture or, you know, opening that a moth can see is your gob. And it found its way down my throat and I choked.
You did. Tash, we haven't actually been out there again with you, have we, Tash? No. Unfortunately, I can't bring you very much into this conversation.
No, that's okay.
It's like the first episode again. Tash wasn't present.
But the thing is, we can take her out there again knowing this.
We're going to. We really should have done this by now.
I thought we did.
There's no reason why we can't.
I've never ever been. I don't even know where it is.
It's like an hour.
That day we actually went to more than just one place. We went to Ebenezer for a little while. We went to two cemeteries as well.
Yeah. Yep. And we wandered behind this house where Ashley sort of wandered into private property, didn't he? And then we sort of reminded him that maybe someone lives there and we shouldn't be in their back garden.
I believe it was the other way around. I believe we heard about this house. I was walking ahead and I'm like, wait, I think we're in someone's yard. And you guys were pretty happy to keep going. I'm like, no, we're not doing that.
Actually, that's probably right. Paul and I wandered, and Ash actually reminded us that we were in someone's backyard.
Paul looks puzzled.
The church that we found.
Yes. That was a strange-looking church. It looked like a spearhead. Yeah. Like an arrowhead.
Yeah.
It was a Lutheran church.
Yeah. Because Charlie actually told us about that. That's why we went for a drive and found it.
I can't remember the name of the town. Lighthouse Road?
Who knows?
Something like that.
Somewhere out there.
But so that was one of our first journeys together. Yeah. And we went out to Zabniza to just have a look at the history, see if we can talk to anyone out there. Debbie made a video. And while we were in Beskane, we as always, we gave the ghost box a crack. Not all the team believes in it.
We went to St. John's as well, didn't we?
Not all the team believes in it, but I believe it did spout out a few interesting words.
Yeah.
I think it spout out Lutheran.
Lutheran?
Yeah.
Four. And we were asked how many spirits were present, and it did come out with four, but it did say Lutheran a few times. But again, this is a highly densely populated Lutheran community, so
yeah, their community radio.
You know what, right. Paul, it was kind of midday, so even to pick up that from your average channel, I think it was still pretty, you know,
we are cruising on the AM band, so
exactly,
so it is possible. But
And that's pretty much what we talked about in the first episode in our first podcast was Ebenezer.
Yeah.
And just to further get a bit of retrospective, we're going to talk about, after the quick break, our very first listener's question, who, believe it or not, was asked by Tash. Okay, guys, so we're back after that quick break. And we're going to re-answer the very first listener's question that we, I guess, tackled on this show, and this one come from Tash before she joined the team. She wasn't with us for the very first podcast. I believe you came on board for podcast 2, or was it podcast 3?
3 or 4.
Okay, Tash, and since we have you here in person now, why don't you ask us that question and we'll tackle it.
I think it was just about what you think about psychics being on a scientific team.
Yep, that was pretty much it. What do we as a scientific-based team or technology-based team think of psychics joining that kind of a, I guess that kind of a, well, team. I said team a lot then. Okay, so I can't remember exactly what the answers were back then, so that's okay, but we can answer anyway.
I can.
You can?
You basically said, well, they're a tool.
Yeah.
We called Tash a tool.
And you called me a tool for a couple of months.
Oh, no, because we said we liked having a new tool. Oh, no. Yes.
All right, well, first of all, we're going to let the tech manager to answer this then, and don't just answer straight out a question, maybe answer it how... Now that we've used the sensitive for a while, has that changed your opinion, or what have you got from this as the tech manager?
Well, paranormal investigations and evidence is all about validation. So whatever evidence we do find, we try to validate. And a psychic or a medium or a sensitive or whatever you want to call them at all, is all about validation. So it is another way of validating certain evidence, or backing up the other evidence that we, or the other machinery that we use to gain our evidence. Yes. That's a really hard thing to say. I reckon it's pretty cool.
I think it's pretty cool, because we can say that on a couple of occasions, Tash has actually been a fairly accurate tool.
Yes.
I feel bad calling her a tool. I felt bad the very first time.
Normally a tool is a bad thing. When you call someone a tool, they're a tool, you know.
I think she's into it now.
A nice way.
I think she's okay with it. Are you okay with it?
Yeah, I'm right. I don't have a problem.
So, Debbie, what do you think about using a non-scientific method such as a psychic medium in this team, which is... Well, I guess it's not all science and technology based now that we do have psychic and medium, but how do you think it interacts with that?
I think it's been an interesting exploration for us, because when we first sort of began, we were a technology based team, And I think she's been a welcome addition and has broadened our horizons in the way that she may think about things, in the way that she may guide us, in the way that we have done some things in the past. So, yeah, I think she's quite a welcome tool.
and Tash, how do you feel you fit in with this type of environment? Well, what about at first and what about now? So has there been a change in you personally since you first came in fresh with that first investigation we did, or partial investigation we did down at Semaphore, which is pretty much why we brought you in, and now, has there been much of a change for you?
Just in my ability, really, and my confidence with actually saying what I actually do feel and think. Before, I didn't have as much confidence to actually say it. But when I have been saying it, most of it has been validated to be correct on or related to that. So for me, it's a growth thing, and I've grown from it in my abilities. And also, it's just on a personal level, built my confidence a lot better as well, because I can be quite shy, but people that do know me really well know that I'm not, and I'm quite outspoken. But with this whole thing, because generally it is more so acceptable with society nowadays, and people do talk about it more, but they never used to. So we, back in when I was younger, we used to shy away from talking about it, or I did, talking about it to my friends and family, but now I can actually do that.
And Tash isn't the only one who's changed that of us as well. I mean, I felt a bit uncomfortable. I'm a skeptic, I admit that. I don't know if I believed in psychic abilities. I believe people see things, but I don't necessarily believe it always to be true. And I was a bit uncomfortable investigating on the basis of a sensitive or a psychic with Tash, you know. But now I feel a lot more comfortable following her leads and investigating with using our tools to investigate Tash's feelings, or what did you say, visions, or
my senses and stuff. That's right. But also for me, it's opened my eyes up to as well, because I do like using the equipment and have a fascination, especially with the ghost box and the ovulus. I have the biggest fascination with that, because it's sort of, in a way, it's like how they communicate with me in my head, not on that level, but do you know what I mean? Like, and that interests me as well.
Absolutely.
Have you ever validated anything that the ghost box has said to yourself?
Well, I haven't really used it that much.
No.
We don't really use it that much.
Yeah,
no. We don't.
But
we don't.
I actually really like it. And every time we're on an investigation, I'm always like, Paul, where's your ghost fox?
Our ovulus is broken at the moment.
I like the ghost box.
We're trying to fix it. Do you like the ghost box?
Yeah, I like the ghost box.
We'll probably use the ghost box a bit more now that the ovulus is out.
Yeah.
Like it's dead.
Yeah. It's being replaced.
Absolutely. And do you know what I realise is quite funny? We've been calling Tash a tool, and Paul has just recovered from work, like a 5-foot-long equipment case lined with foam, so we can transport you around just like our equipment.
I was thinking the same thing.
Because we're all over 6 foot, so Tash is the only thing possible.
I have a road case I think all three of us can fit in too.
Bloody hell.
God, no.
Who's going to drive there if we're all stuck in a car? All three of us can fit in. Who'd you leave out?
It's massive. Oh, wow. Tash is in the other case.
Oh, no. Alrighty, and I think myself, as far as using the psychic team, it's pretty much what everyone else has said. I still look at it exactly the same. If Tash gives us a reading or lets us know something, we always try to follow that up. I don't just blindly follow that. As much as I like Tash, it still needs to be confirmed.
Yeah.
But a lot of the times it has been, including that very first investigation we took her out on.
And that house we just recently went to.
Oh, absolutely.
That shocked the hell out of you.
Yeah, that was quite too, interesting. Well. But unfortunately, that's a private investigation, private residential investigation. So can't talk about it, but... But yeah, you did. We didn't need to investigate in the end. Tasha pretty much went in there and basically there was a problem with a child there, and you fixed it.
Oh, have you heard back?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, okay, cool.
All right, so I guess that's about the 20 minutes. Is there anything anyone else wants to just quickly bring up about the last 6 months?
I don't know. I mean, what were your thoughts on how things were going to go to this point, Ash?
Pretty much the same. I had a series of four goals written down for the team, and we've met them all. The only thing that I guess we didn't meet on time was the public meetings that we hold. I was expecting them to be done by May, but we did them in June. But, you know, we got the podcast out. I wasn't thinking the podcast was going to start till March this year, and we did them 4 months early, so...
It's crazy.
Very much bounced out.
Yeah.
We'll be back again next week. We'll be continuing this retrospective of looking at past shows. We'll be looking a little bit at show number 3 and 4 that we did. So until then, if you have any questions or need to contact the team for any reason, you can do that through the website, www.theparanormalguide.net, Facebook, which is facebook.com/theparanormalguide, one word, or through the mobile phone, 0437-233-729. And as always, we welcome those comments and that feedback. And any questions you might have, we'll be getting back to answering new listeners' questions in the next couple of weeks. So please keep them coming in, as we love answering them. So there you go. That's the end of podcast 19. See you later.
Bye.
Happy hunting.
Yeah, see you later.